Cape Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, Adam. How are you doing? It's 7:49. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm a bit of a 7 out of 10, if I'm honest, but that's okay. It's still a positive, isn't it?
It is a positive. I'm just a little upset. I just feel like you guys sent us your weather. It's very cloudy here in Cape Town, and I don't understand. It's very chilly.
Yes.
And it's overcast.
I think we've become somehow meteorologically linked.
We have.
It doesn't matter about hemispheres and time of year. I think what you get, we get, and vice versa, at least up to a point.
Exactly. It's like when you go to boarding school as girls and you become lunarly linked. Eventually, over time, everything syncs up. Yeah,
we're in sync.
Exactly. Okay, so let's kick off in Sri Lanka. There were horrific scenes yesterday. People were throwing trucks off bridges into rivers. I mean, it was very interesting.
Yes.
Now people are being told they can shoot to kill.
The lawlessness has become extraordinary, and there is an element of who can blame them, given the crisis that's enveloped Sri Lanka. I mean, where if you can afford the medicine, it's probably not findable because they're short, everything's expensive. I mean, uber expensive. Sri Lanka is copping the cost of living crisis that we're all copping, and then some. Then on top of this, you have what is thought to be a corrupt and inept government to some extent. The president, Gotabaya Rajapaksa, is presiding over Sri Lanka's worst economic crisis in history. His brother, Mahinda Rajapaksa, actually stepped down as prime minister, but that hasn't stopped anything. The protests have continued, as I say, in some cases violent, rioting kind of protests. 8 people have died and more than 200 injured in clashes with police. And as you say now, there's this extraordinary law that allows the police and soldiers to shoot on sight if they think people are breaking the law. I guess that's looters in particular, but maybe rioters too. Tens of thousands of Sri Lankan Army, Navy and Air Force personnel have been deployed. They're patrolling the streets of the capital, Colombo, and beyond. Shoot on sight on civilian streets, your own people, who are starving or short of whatever it is. Extraordinary. That is extraordinary.
It's frightening indeed. And speaking of frights, a fright on a flight. You know, flights are becoming the most dangerous places to be. You know, you're stuck in this metal tube in the sky. What happened here?
If you don't get berated for wearing a mask or for not wearing a mask.
Yeah, exactly.
Or for sitting near Mike Tyson. That was another one, wasn't it? In this
right.
case, it's a jet that was on the ground at an airport in Israel, Ben Gurion Airport. Passengers began to receive some strange images on their mobile phones. I mean, en masse, a load of passengers suddenly had images of crashing planes. The airline had been due to take off from Israel to Turkey. The captain decided to go back to the terminal. He said, hang on a moment, we probably ought to alert the security team. If somebody is sending images of planes crashing into the ground, this does not look good. This does not feel right. Security crews at the airport were mobilized. All the passengers were reinspected. Their luggage was rescanned, all that stuff. It appears, although I don't think they've sort of finally concluded, but it appears the crash photos were sent by someone on the plane using AirDrop, which is a thing you can do on your mobile phone, sharing information maybe, making a threat possibly, more likely a sick joke. But that's pretty stupid, isn't it? Like joking about bombs when you walk through airport security.
You never
do
that.
You just don't do it,
yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I did that in the late 90s, and my dad was like, I will leave you where you stand. I mean, imagine now I'm like 8 years old, and he was like, don't you dare. I'm not getting arrested because of your stupid mouth. And then the Queen's speech, while delivered but by her dear son Charles, gilded throne. I have to say, the speech and the irony of the optics, it was interesting.
Yes, wasn't it? Because it was all in the right place. You had all the pomp and pageantry, and you had the men in tights, and the funny guy with the golden rod. Then you had the imperial state crown, but placed on a cushion, and Prince Charles doing the Queen's speech, doing his man's speech, albeit he was not sitting in her throne. He was sitting in the consort's throne, where perhaps Prince Philip would have sat most of his time. So Prince Charles stepped forward, did the thing. Of course, he didn't say my government, because he's not the monarch. He said Her Majesty's government throughout the speech. He looked a little nervous at first, I thought, maybe a bit shaky even, but seemed to warm to the task. It's a pretty dull old speech. Basically, you're delivering the government's shopping list what it intends to do for the coming 12 months. But we are told that the Queen watched it on TV. So, I mean, she's still doing all the red boxes and the paperwork, and she's still very much, you know, in charge, as it were. But watching your son do what you've done since forever on telly, I wonder what was going through her head. It must have felt a bit weird, the passing of the baton, and yet not the passing of the baton.
Quite. Okay, I can't comment on this because I'm going to give you perspectives from the Crown, and of course it's not the truth, it's just fiction. Moving forward, I have my theories, but yeah, I'm going to go with she was proud to see her baby boy up there like every other mother.
There we go, go with that.
Yeah,
that,
exactly.
That sounds nice and squeaky clean.
Quite right. Adam, we'll catch up to you on Thursday, tomorrow. Have a good one.
Will do.
Cheerio. Adam Gilchrist right there with your worldview.